Thank you, Gary. And thank you, Scott. That's a great organization and a great reminder that we're connected with people that far away. And I think one of the keys, a little bit I know about Haggai, is that they work through so many people, not just missionaries, and those people become missionaries. So I hope we make the goal. Join me in your Bibles in Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 3. And I hope that by the time we're done with these series on the image of God, that you got it. Intentionally, I'm repeating a lot. I know how we learn, and I know how I learn. And the issue today is restoration of the good of the image. Let's go back to it from Genesis chapter 1, where it says very clearly that we were created in the image of God, and that the uniqueness of human beings is so huge. You know that. We're comparing with animals sometimes. You have creatures and you have persons. And we were made, Adam and Eve, and passed on to all of us, a little lower than the angels. Sometimes we think angels are divine. They're not, but they are special spiritual beings who can take body form and be most anywhere. We have to use jets or cars and other things, but we're a little lower than the angels. We're way above animals, even the ones that have the same kind of thumb that we have. But the issue is not just that we have these amazing abilities and can think and look in the mirror and change or make decisions or fall in love or grow in love, but I was trying to say that as you read the Bible, human beings were made, created in such amazing ways by God, but that the key to the image is, think verb, that we can image God. When Adam and Eve fell, that was Tuesday, or Monday, they still were made in the image of God. They could still think and use a mirror or make decisions or decide to work out or to love somebody or forgive somebody. But they had lost the connection with God, which ties them to God, to image Him, the relationship. That's really key. If you want to take this theme and look at it in the Bible, you only see it in about 10 places, but it's very strong in the Old Testament in creation. He made us, man and woman, in the image of God. In the image of God, He created them. Now in Colossians chapter 3, just to be the kind of theme we're going to look at today, it says in verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So here's one of those references. He's writing to Christians, you have put on the new nature, the new self, that's what Paul likes to call it, which is Christ in you. He'll explain that in other verses. You have put on the new nature, and that new nature is being renewed day by day, if we wish, if we will, if we choose, after the image of its creator. So to reflect its creator. You still, everybody still is made in the image of God, but loses the relationship and is not born with the relationship. Now, how do I know that? Well, mostly I know my heart. Well, mostly I watch Speaker Pelosi and President Trump having a meeting and tea, and the way they talk about each other and the few times they've been together, to each other or run out of the meeting. Or, no, the way the very, very wealthy Hollywood star cheats on his wife. Or the way a banker or an investor scoops some money off for himself, even though he's been amazingly wise in the way he invested money for those people. How do I know? Because my heart still speaks to me, the old self, to get even or say something back or don't let her do that to you or him. You know. You know that the human heart is so magnificent and the human brain is so complicated and the body too. But it can be perverse, it can be selfish as can be. So, what happened? My parents were Christians. Dad brought up in Iowa in a very Swedish Baptist home where they had rules for everything. But he also said his father never hugged him. When his father retired from postal service in Burlington, Iowa, I've been told as a grandchild that the whole town turned out to thank him, for he had grown vegetables and given them to the poor before any book was written about that, for everybody knew how kind he was. But the large family that he had included so much alcoholism and divorce. My parents met at Bob Jones, my mother adopted by my grandparents and brought to Christ that way. They eloped from Bob Jones, therefore were released from the school, came back to Harrisburg. After I was about 6-7 years old, began to fight. I remember in second grade stepping between them when they were slapping each other. My dad would never have hurt her or tried to in a brutal sense, but I can still bring up the emotions of their divorce and of stepping between them. Both Christians. What happens? You know people in your church who were up front. Well, there's nothing good about that or special about that, but who were leaders or pastors. And then they're on the front page of the newspaper. Or they simply are in the bulletin that he's leaving. What happens? Made in the image of God, and even, I believe, restored to that image by salvation, but still have to choose. So today let's talk about that re-imaging, how it starts at salvation, but I've got to continue it or I'm in trouble. You could stand up. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm asking for understanding on this issue. You could stand up and tell your story of your own heart or your parents or other issues in your life that you've seen that are so disappointing. Deeply affected by the fall. So we have the ability to know God, but we don't go at it or let it grow. In Ephesians, the verses I read the other day, dead in your sins, like your arm that falls asleep, was my illustration. Deeply affected. So something is needed. And every one of us knows in looking at our hearts that we are sinners. We often say sinners saved by grace. But we also sometimes need to say sinners who can still go that way if we don't watch ourselves. All right, that's the problem. The relationship, you know this, Christianity 101, is restored by salvation. You're still made in His image, but when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, He comes. And that salvation is often called the new self. By Paul. We don't use that often, but it means Christ in you. The old self we're to put off. The old self is me before Christ. I was a terror when I was 5. No, but you're still not what Jesus called born a second time from above. That new birth, we're born with the abilities in the image of God, but not the relationship. When we put our faith in Christ, I did as a 5-year-old, understood it much more later, the image in the sense of relationship is restored, and now I can reflect Him. Do you believe that? And do you understand that even as a believer with Christ in your life, you don't feel Him, it's a spiritual connection, that you can kind of forget that. Many of us are married. You know who you are. If you're married, you should know who you are by now. If you're married, you know you're always married, but you can drift apart. We all know what that means of a day. Sometimes people know of a year or two. So let's talk about what happens. And I do want to say, it's restored by God, whether you feel it or not, when you believe what happened on the cross, that He took all of your sins, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, admitting your sins, okay, say repent of your sins, change your mind, and you trust Him, His death for you counts for you. His punishment for sin. All the sins of the Old Testament were piled on Him. All the sins of today and tomorrow were piled on Him, paid for. It is finished. When you put your faith in Him, the Bible says even your faith is counted as something much better than faith. It's righteousness. So that in Christ, our sins are paid for, our righteousness is given, assured. Be able to explain that to your neighbor. Don't just say, believe on the Lord Jesus. I know that's what Paul said to the jailer, Acts 16. But that jailer had seen Christians and heard messages, and he knew. Believe to him meant a whole change of life and risking your life because of the environment he was in. It's not just believe like true or false, Jesus died, yeah, rose again. No, it's believe He took your sins. Paid for them. You have them. You're sorry. Believe He gives you the gift of righteousness. So don't say, I hope I go to heaven. When that happens, the new self happens in God's eyes. His Holy Spirit, you don't have to feel this. It's nice to experience God, and we all do at times. And I don't mean a loud voice, I just mean assurance. When I sing about my sins being forgiven, or when I read a verse, I get an emotion of peace and joy about it. I don't sit there, oh boy, that's nice, I wonder who has that. Probably, no. When I sin, there's a spiritual connection to my heart that says, don't do, what did you do? It's my spirit talking, God's spirit bringing conviction. You know that if you're a Christian. So that's what happens. Now the need is to grow in that. So being restored by salvation, it says in 2 Corinthians, this, I think, an interesting verse, with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory, meaning we get it. We get it. You ought to see the sunshine today or look at the beautiful flowers and not just say, look, you get it. God's creator. God's magnificent. But it says with unveiled faces, in other words, not veiled by selfishness, it says, that's cool, I love that. No, that's God. I love Him. And it says we are being changed with ever-increasing glory. I like King James that says, from glory to glory, from one good experience to another. Glory, that is change, that's from the Lord. So growth, it's restored by salvation, And now we are able to change. The issue from 2 Corinthians is one glory to another. It's a strange way for Paul to say it, I admit. But when you forgive your husband and do it with meaning, it's a gift from God and you're changed. And that's one of the glories. And when you stop gossiping about somebody immediately, there's a change. You're reflecting God's kindness and His forgiveness. Is that you? I mean, some of the problems I've gotten into in coaching, I had a wonderful time at two churches for 40-some years, 41 and as senior, and two before that as an intern associate. I've seen a lot of Christians grow, and I've tried to grow myself and seen my wife grow. But I've also seen people who are clearly in Christ, and you want to say there's no glory at all at times. You know that. Nobody calls them grouchy, but they are. And if the issue is so clear sometimes. The call is for us to not keep rules, but be changed from glory to glory, from one incident to another. If you have a bad temper, you ought to be working on it with God's help, with Christ in your life, with the Holy Spirit. Read the things. Discipline yourself. It goes together. How do we grow? It's God. Yeah, I was a Watchman Nee freak for 3 years when I was in college. And Watchman Nee said, I'm crucified with Christ, it's all Christ. And I went further than Watchman Nee. And finally I realized this is a hobby horse, it's pride that I can say I'm crucified with Christ. You still decide if you're going to love. You still decide if you're going to read the Bible or pray or serve other people. You work together with Christ from glory to glory. Put on the new self, put off the old. What would be one glory? Well, one might be what I said, forgive, or even harder, apologize. One might be to start spending some time to pray. I, for 30-some years, have taught people, just memorize how to spell pray, P-R-A-Y. Praise, start with praise to God. R is repent. Just confess your sins. Lutherans are good at that. Some of us are not. A is ask, then ask. And Y is yield to the verses you're going to read or just read. P-R-A-Y. We did it on staff and got away from just a few people praying. Everybody would pitch in. Just a sentence of praise in a small group from various people. Then take a quiet time, repent or confess. Don't do it out loud. A is ask, then ask, and somebody back it up who's near you. Just say, yes, Lord, help Newt's daughter make that decision, that kind of thing. And then Y is yield. But do that a little bit. Just grow in that area. If you're able, kneel sometimes all by yourself and don't even ask for anything and just praise Him or say you're His servant. Service. I mentioned yesterday the guy that said, I'm just a carpenter, I can't do that. Okay, do you know any carpenters in the Bible? The praying, the learning, the serving, all of us are equipped with spiritual gifts. So, from glory to glory, we're changed. You receive Christ, His Holy Spirit comes into your life, live like this, and then grow in that faith. That's what we're talking about. But the issue is to grow. Sometimes it would come on our screen, your internet connection is unstable. And sometimes our connection with God is unstable because of selfishness, or He's not going to run away, but we get prodigal in a little way or a giant way. I was sitting on a plane once. I was in the aisle seat coming back from California, and I was going to the hardest assignment I think I ever had in Akron. I was to give a 2-hour lecture to the Hebrew College, that's the name of it, in Cleveland, on the Christian view of the Messiah. So I was studying Isaiah 53. Next to me was a huge guy who had been drunk all night. I'm not judging him, that's what he said. He was a football player, and he said, I'm going to sleep. He sat down, and soon he was asleep after the plane took off. And the window seat was a smaller lady, a Jewish doctor from Cleveland, Ohio, going home. We talked about her specialty, and I asked her questions and got to know how amazing she was in her field. And then I was studying, and about an hour into the trip, she looked over, and I was reading something here, getting ready for this talk. She said, what are you reading? And I read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I said, with a smile, have you ever heard that? She immediately said, what is truth is what you believe. That becomes truth for you, whatever you believe. And I said with a smile, do you practice that in medicine? You know, I don't know what to give you or anything, but because I believe this will work, take this. She said, of course not. I said with a smile, do you hope the pilot flies that way? You know, I don't know how to fly this plane, but whatever I believe becomes truth for me. I said, I'm off this plane if that's the case. She said, me too. But in theology, people practice that all the time. As long as you have faith. Oh, come on. Faith in what? So the issue is, I urge you to believe that the Bible wants us all to be renewed, growing in Christ day after day, glory to glory, is the way Paul says it. It's not a spooky way. He just says one good thing after another. All right. So it's restored in Christ. That's the issue. At salvation, it's restored by the new birth. The new birth is the new self. Christ, by his Spirit, comes into your heart and spirit and life, invisible, field or not. You're a new self, Christ in you. You can either say, that's neat, I'm going to heaven, see you later. And in my Bible, I think you'll go to heaven by the skin of your teeth, yet so as by fire. Or you can live this way and stay in touch with his word and with your prayers and with your spirit and thoughts and seek to grow if you wish, if I wish, the Holy Spirit in you. So Paul in Ephesians, in the verses we're going to look at some more, Ephesians 4:20, uses these phrases, put off, put on. And it makes it sound like that's simple. Put off yourself, or your old self, if you wish to use Paul's words. But that's me. Have you ever been amazed at how you thought a dirty thought when you looked at someone? Have you ever been amazed at how quickly you thought how you could get even when somebody hurt you? You're a Christian. I have. The old self always, you know, as a kid, I always had that illustration, or heard the illustration, child evangelism. Whichever dog you feed, that's the one, the old dog or the new dog. I get that, but the old self is still selfish. The new self is God's Spirit in you. You can choose ye this day whom you will serve. So the restoration of the image relationship, how strong it becomes, depends on me, you. Will you keep growing in your life? In the clear way that Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 4, He said, verse 4:19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Are they saved or unsaved? It looks like they're not believers, but believers act like that too. Verse 20, a very plain statement. That is not the way you learned Christ. Where did you get that? That's what Paul's saying. Where in the world did you get that? That's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming, verse 21, that's a little sarcasm. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, you did learn that you're supposed to love. You did learn that you forgive, didn't you? Come on. That's what Paul's saying to the Ephesians. He's the one that probably taught them some of this. And verse 22, and to put on your old, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, your thinking, your will. 24, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. There it is, the image of God. Created after the image of God, the new self. Christ in you. When you looked at Jesus Christ, you saw him. He has the solution to the racial problems. You know that. It's not easy. He sits down with a Samaritan woman at the well. You don't even talk to a woman in public if you're a good Jew in those days. And a Samaritan, they were called half-breeds. But he had such love. Children would run to sit on his lap. The lepers had a saying among them, he's one of us. Not because he healed all of them, but he actually touched them and healed many. In the hell that he faced, he showed us what heaven is like. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They plucked out his beard with a wooden pliers, patch at a time. They spit on him. And he's still loved. That's the new self. That's a different way to live. And that's the combination that we have with Christ. Put on, put off. Now in the Bible you have all these lists of things to put off. And there's a couple of them. Sexual immorality, hatred, discord, envy. A couple of those make it into church easier than others. But don't let it happen in your life. Put off, put on. And then put on your new self is so clear. I keep saying, I'm trying to be redundant. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, patience, gentleness, self-control. These are all evidences of Christ in your life. But you have to choose to put it on. People use habits, you know, count to 10, all kinds of things. But pray and live this way, consciously. We used to have treasure hunts in our neighborhood. Take turns, Eddie Kramer. He was always Dan Reed. My brother was bigger than I am. He was the Lone Ranger. I was smaller. I was Tonto. Nothing against Indians. Eddie Kramer was Dan Reed because he was younger than I was. There's a pecking order in every neighborhood. But the issue of life and of learning how to live and to put on is Eddie came to faith in Christ, just died and went to heaven now many, many years later. He had put on Christ in his life, then the job we have to work together with the Spirit is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Can your neighbors tell you're a Christian? Not by your flowers, not by how well you keep the lawn, but by the way you treat them and love. It's not just that we go to church, it's that our life has been re-imaged, and we now reflect Christ as best we can. One of our neighbors where we lived in Akron had beautiful flower areas, garden. The issue is, that isn't their house, but it's a beautiful garden where there's flowers. Why did our neighbors get such good flowers, I often thought, and we don't have many at all? That's not fair, you could say. Well, the neighbors planted them, and they weeded, and they took care of them. Why do some people seem to love across racial lines or across belief lines or across Republican-Democrat lines in today's world, but others don't? Well, because they weed, because they plant flowers of the Word of God in their lives, and they choose to live that way. Do you do that? You got to keep at it. I don't think it gets easier. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. You have put on the new self. Here's another way he says it, which is being constantly renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. There you are, created in the image of God. We lost the relationship. We're born without the relationship. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We're re-imaged in the sense that we can now live this way, and then we're to keep growing. Will you keep doing that? When I was little, I took piano, and when I was 12, I think it was, I could play the minute waltz in a minute and a half, which if you're a piano teacher, you know it's very good. Maybe it was almost 2 minutes, but it's still amazing. I'd like to play it for you now. Let me start again. I've wasted some time. That's all I know. If you don't keep it up, if you don't keep working, if you don't keep practicing, if you don't keep forgiving, if you don't keep worshiping, you lose it, or you slip backwards. Mike Singletary, the great Chicago Bears quarterback, they used to show his eyes. He was a middle linebacker. I said quarterback, linebacker. And you'd see him looking at the quarterback, and if I were the other quarterback, I would have said, Mike, look away, look away. In those days, you didn't have the huge helmet or the shield, and his eyes were just glaring. And one time, Jim Gray, the amazing sports announcer, asked him after a game, I'll never forget it, CBS, Sunday afternoon. I had one sermon to go on Sunday, because in those days you did two a Sunday, which was not right. And Jim Gray said to him, Mike, sometimes you get clobbered, double-teamed over here, and yet you make the tackle over there. How do you do that? And he said very nonchalantly, I get up. I get up. I get up. Say it with me. I get up. What do you do when you fail like I do? You get up. You get forgiveness, you get up, you start living this way again. Renewed means keep on going, keep going. Perfected by growth. My favorite Christian in all the world, I'm not afraid to say it, my wife's almost Thai, was my grandmother. When they stand in line for most valuable player, she had a fourth grade education. She adopted my mother, and when they got divorced, my mother worked 50 hours a week. And so our grandmother raised us and took us to Bible classes and across racial lines and across poverty lines before there were books written on that. I held her hand as she was dying, and she said, Newt, just trust Jesus. When they go to most valuable player, the people will say it's down to Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, and then the angel will yell, it's Rosa Engel. And everyone will say, who's that? And I say, that's my grandmother. No, it might be you, if you're faithful, your grandmother. for all of us equally as we abide in Christ. Will you do that? Restored by salvation, be sure of that, and then perfected by growth. I get up. The process is clear, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Peter, whose life had been totally changed by God, the new self. And I identify with all of you that this is a difficult process, and you got to, you know, somebody wrote a book, 3 steps forward, 2 steps backward. Yeah. But you don't give up physically, whatever you're doing, spiritually also. Will you keep growing? Will you realize that you don't have to say it this way, but in God's eyes, it's you're putting on the new self more and more, and putting off that old feeling, that old self, because you've been restored to a relationship to image God. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I can spell his name, A-L-E-X. Now, I can spell Solzhenitsyn because I've written it so many times. I love to tell the story. He was a prophet for truth and freedom in America, a refugee from Russia, where he told the truth and they kicked him out. And then when he was put in a Russian gulag, he wrote the book Gulag, Russian prison camp. And he said in the gulag, all they did was shovel. Every day, all they did was shovel. No purpose, just labor. And he said if anybody quit, he would get killed by a guard. One day he thought how awful this was, I'm quitting. And he sat down, Solzhenitsyn writes in the book, on a makeshift bench there in the prison camp and got ready to die. An older man in the prison camp had led him to faith in Jesus Christ. He writes about it very clearly. But he still gave up and was ready to die. And he felt the presence of someone next to him as he's staring at the dust, expecting, here we go. Instead, it was the old man who saw what he was doing and that he was giving up. Without saying a word, the old man reached down in the dust and did this and made the sign of the cross. Solzhenitsyn writes, I knew exactly what he meant, and I got up and started shoveling again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Keep going. Let's pray. God, help me to keep growing and not flunk. Help each of us in this room to be renewed in your image day by day, one little glory at a time.